Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening. You know, I used to really love doing Mother's Day talks because my 87-year-old mother, very healthy 87-year-old, lives in Florida. The key word there, she lives in Florida, and she was an endless supply of stories, and I could tell anything I wanted to from the platform because she was never going to hear it. Now, with technology, the talks are online. So I have to go through the talk very carefully before I put it together because she's going to hear every word of it. So this one's for you, Mom. Anyway, actually, that's kind of kidding because Mom listens to all my talks. She's very wonderful and very supportive. She told me quite a few years ago, I remember, that she used to dread Mother's Day because we were five kids also, just like Bill, a girl and four boys. I was the oldest boy. And she said that was the day that we would bring her breakfast in bed, you know, and she smiled and enjoyed it. And then that afternoon, it took her 2.5 hours to clean up the kitchen. So it was kind of a trade-off. So let me ask you this. Bill already asked how many mothers we have. Congratulations to all of you who are. How many of you are going to be lucky enough to spend some actual face-to-face time with your mother today? Number of you? Quite a few. That's great. And if you aren't going to see her, how many of you either already have or are going to talk to her on the phone today? Okay, that means she's still around. That's great. And I also always, I don't ask, but I guarantee there are at least one or two people in this room who lost their mother between now and last Mother's Day. And that's very, very hard for Mother's Day when you just lost her. But I will tell you this, and just sort of before I get into the talk, for anyone who lost your mother recently, if you can just focus on how much you loved her in the good times, and I'm sure there were, and how much of her still lives on in you and in your siblings and in your children and your grandchildren, if you have them, because you can see her in all of that, it's going to help. Because, as we all know, but we don't like to think about, these physical bodies don't last. They don't last for our parents. They don't last for us. They don't last for any of us in this human experience. So all that counts when we move on to the next level, whatever that level looks like, is the love for each other that we take with us when we go and the love we leave behind. Now, this is especially true about family, and it is most especially true about our mothers, because you may not remember, but we came into this world attached to them, not just emotionally, but also physically, okay? And if you ever forget that, if your mother does something and you want to claim you don't know this woman, lift up your shirt and look at your belly button, okay? All right? Yes, you were once connected, and there's nothing you can do to change that, okay? I mean, even though we don't remember it, obviously, during that wild, scary moment of our birth, when we first opened our eyes and saw the outside world, at some deep level, even though we were now out into the world on our own, we could still feel within us the beat of our mother's heart, because it was in sync with her for all those months. We knew her voice, we knew her smell, and something inside of us can never, ever forget that. Even now, 40, 50, 60, years or even more later. In the beginning, only her touch could calm us down, and she was the only one we would allow to feed us. So it's no wonder that no matter what our relationship with her has turned into as the years went by, and no matter what it's like now, even if she's gone, because even if your mother has passed, you still have a relationship with her, we all do, we still feel a very powerful emotional connection, because the experience of a mother bearing a child is the most spiritual expression of the creative process there is in our human experience. And we were all intimately involved with it at least once, and some of you twice or more, the ones who are mothers. And that's a very special gift. So this morning, the title of my talk is Breaking the Apron breaking the apron strings. And I want to talk about that point in our life, basically when we leave home, when we leave our mother for good, which we all did eventually. I'm going to talk about how our relationship with our mother had to change before that happened, before we could reach that balance between our mother's outstretched arms and our own independence, because that's where a lot of the interesting tension comes up between mother and child. For example, I read somewhere that most women go through phases in their life. The first phase is they want to be just like their mother. The second phase is they don't want to be anything like our mother. And the third phase is they look in a mirror and say, oh my God, I'm turning into my mother. Okay, that's the third phase. Now, men have it a lot easier, okay? We go from being in love with mommy when we're that big to resenting her for trying to control our life to being the dutiful son who does whatever she asks. We go through that phase. And usually, all this stuff works out fine, but not always. And when it doesn't, and I know people for whom it didn't, it's very, very sad. Now, one fact of life that complicates things is, as we grow older and we move towards adulthood and independence, our mother's role changes too. I mean, starts out, we're an infant, we just show up, our mother is a human vending machine and our primary mode of transportation. That's what it is, okay? Then over the next few years, before we start school, she becomes our protector and our playmate and maybe even our hero, always there to give us a hug when we fall down and bump our elbow or bump our knee. And then we start school, and her primary role becomes that of a maid, a cook, and a taxi driver, though you may not want to bring that up to her, but that's what she does while you're in school. Mine did. And then as we become teenagers, our mother turns into a cross between a prison guard and an FBI investigator, you know. And then we go to college, and she's a shoulder to cry on and a way to get money out of your dad. That's, you know, all that stuff. But finally, if all goes well, when we're all grown up and all on our own, she is the one person in the world who loves us no matter what we do or what we did, right? Sure she is. Bill was talking about that. No matter what we screw up, no matter how long it takes us to find the right job, to find the right person to love, or to find the right place to live, she is there to give us unconditional love, advice, sometimes more than we want, and support, which is not always unconditional. And if we are lucky enough to keep her around long enough, the most bittersweet transition of all comes when we assume the responsibility of caring for her in her golden years. And that can be the most precious part of our whole lifelong relationship with our mother, because it allows us to give back at least some of the love and care and attention and support that she gave us through the years. And I know some of you personally are going through this process right now. Some of you already have, and some of us have that to look forward. Now, somebody once said that everyone loves the idea of motherhood. It's our mothers that drive us crazy, okay? We like it in the abstract, all right? In the first few months of life, we need her total support, not just emotionally, but physically, or a child would die if they didn't have the mom's support, the psychologists and the doctors tell us. But just after we are born, a few weeks later, we begin that long, complicated transition from complete dependence to complete independence. And sometimes when we're going through that process, it feels like kind of a tug of war. Sometimes our mothers are doing everything they can to hold on to us while we're doing everything we can to break free. And then other times we want to stay safe and secure in our little nest, but our mother keeps trying to push us out. Whatever they do, it seems to tick us off. We always seem to be on opposite sides of that tension. For some people, it's a love-hate relationship, but hopefully there's a lot more love than the other. Now, part of the problem is when we are growing up, we want it both ways. We want all the comfort and security that our parents provide, but we don't want any limitations or restrictions. We want it both ways. We want our complete freedom. There was a book out a number of years ago. It was a pop psychology book about the relationship between mothers and teenagers. And the title was, I love this, it's Get Out of My Life, But First Take Me and Cheryl to the Mall. Kind of cute. That's kind of the tension that we run into. I remember in my case, I could not wait to go to college, you know, with five kids in the house and my parents and only two bathrooms. My parents had one, you know, it was crowded in there. I wanted to get home, to get away from home, to be free. But about 3 weeks after I left, I can remember when it happened, I was homesick. I was 18 years old. I had never been away from home for more than one night. in those 18 years. So I called my parents and I said, I made a mistake, you'll be happy to hear, I'm ready to come home. And my always loving, supportive mother, which she was, said no. She flat out refused to let me come home. So I did what any mature kid did. I cried. I stopped eating. You know, I wrote these heartbreaking letters, which she kept and gave me about a year ago, you know. Okay. I got them at home in the closet. Okay. I'm not going to throw them out till after she passes. Then we'll put them in the box with her. Okay. And all that. But she told me years later during a conversation that it almost killed her to hear how much I was hurting, but she knew in her heart that I was going to be fine, and she was right. Eventually, I got over it, and I grew up. Now, that's what the good moms do. Any wise mother knows that she has to let go if her child is ever to become a fully functional, fully independent person. And all of us, even if we want to assert our independence, would like to find a way to become an individual without cutting ourselves off from that source of maternal wisdom that we know only wants the best for us. And eventually, in a healthy mother-child relationship, most of us manage to reach that balance. Now, that's the straight mom stuff, okay? Today, as part of a spiritual exercise, this is our spiritual time on Sunday, I want to expand this idea of motherhood a little bit. Because if you think about it, the relationship between our mother and ourselves is actually an excellent metaphor for other parts of our life. And let me explain what I mean. Whenever we find ourselves in a comfortable, safe place, with familiar surroundings and people who like us and only want the best for us, it is easy for us to get complacent. Okay? I mean, it'd be nice if we could just stay where we were and have absolutely nothing change while all our needs are met, our physical and emotional needs. But as most of us have found through the years, life doesn't usually work that way. Because being comfortable is fine, but if we get too comfortable for too long, complacency and stagnation will get in the way of our growth. Happens all the time in our life. Now, sometimes it happens because the situation around us changes even when we don't want it to, and that makes us feel stressed. Okay, that was the book a few years ago, Who Moved My Cheese? What do you do when things around you change and you don't want them to change? Okay, when things around us change without our wanting them to change, we have to pay attention so we can respond to the changes as we happen. That's what growing up and becoming independent means. But we can't do that if we spend all our time and energy crying for mommy or crying about the way things used to be. That's the maturity part. But it puts a slightly different twist on the story when we are the ones who are changing more quickly and more radically than the situation around us. That's different. You see, as we expand, as we evolve, as we grow in consciousness, our world sometimes appears to be growing smaller. It feels like it's closing in on us, but it really isn't. Sometimes we're just outgrowing it, okay? And having to deal with changes out there because we are changing in here is the price we pay for growing. It's the price we pay. That's when we realize that whatever used to work for us so perfectly before, okay, when mommy took care of everything, so to speak, doesn't seem to work so well anymore. And that can be very, very frustrating. Now, it happens a lot when we're children. We may not remember it, but it does. When we reach a certain age, maybe 15 months or so, I bow to the experts who know, we have to stop crawling and learn how to do what everybody else is doing, which is walk. Okay, and that really kind of sucks at the time because being carried everywhere is very, very nice. We all like that, you know. And as far as other things, diapers were easy to use and you could go anytime you wanted, but eventually you got to learn to use the plumbing. Okay, mommy does that. So as we grow from being dependent and completely taken care of to being forced to become independent with responsibility for our own actions, our own thoughts, our own beliefs, how do we react? Well, at first, we're furious because we like being taken care of. It's nice to have someone who does everything for us, and it's no fun giving that up, okay? You see, because we are not always willing to give up our creature comforts easily or voluntarily, one part of our growth process as human beings usually includes having someone around who encourages us to get out and do things on our own. Now, when we're growing up, that's what our parents do. They make sure we don't stagnate. And if we try to stagnate, in spite of it, if we dig in our heels, our dear loving mother will cut the apron strings and push us out of the nest if she has to. That's how we learn to fly. I mean, it's really kind of interesting how this affects us today. When we reach the age that we're learning to interact with society, maybe 6, 7, 8, we start going to school and we're not home all the time with our parents, we go through a period where we become very, very cautious. If you've got children of your own, you can see that happen. I mean, a lot of us weren't anxious to jump on a bicycle the first time. We saw the kid next door fall down when he was learning and break his arm, so I'm not going to try that. We were afraid to take a bat because we might hit ourselves or have somebody throw a ball at us and try to hit that because we might get hurt. In other words, at some point, we had no interest in trying things that we never tried before. So some of us, probably a lot of us, developed at that time a fearful consciousness that prefers to play it safe. Which brings us to another lesson that we all had to learn growing up, which is playing it safe and growing are mutually exclusive. You can do one or the other, but we can't do both. So if we didn't have someone like our mom or our parents to encourage us or even force us, we might never have gotten past that. Now, that's all childhood stuff. We may not remember it, but that's where it is. But what happens when we're all grown up today, whoever we are, whatever our age is, and we run into a similar problem? We still fall into a rut from time to time where we have to choose between playing it safe and growing. Happens all the time. And if we allow our old fearful consciousness to take over, the one that we developed as a child, playing it safe is going to win out every single time because we're afraid. For example, we may find ourselves in a job that we've been in for a while that's not challenging us very much, it's not paying us all that well or teaching us any new skills, but at least it's comfortable. And it's relatively secure. We got some seniority. We don't have to learn anything new. And we don't want to mess with writing a resume and having to move. We'd like to do something more challenging. But if we take a little risk, we don't know how that's going to turn out. So what do? That's the question. Do we just stay where we are? Should we play it safe? A lot of people do. You see them all the time. But as a result, for those who play it safe, their life ends up being much smaller than it actually needs to be. Now, it may not be bad, it may be okay, but it may not be all that great either. That's when it would be nice to have a designated mom around, and some of us do, to smile and pat us on the head and say, sweetheart, why don't you go out into the big world and play? And play, okay? Now, here's another example. I'm sure it doesn't apply to anyone here, but you probably know somebody. What about our relationship situation, okay? What if it is stuck in neutral, okay? Maybe we're single and dating has turned into a bore because there aren't any good men or good women around, and even though we aren't finding anything new, we keep going to the same old places and doing the same old things, but we still can't figure out why we're not meeting anybody new. Or how about the long-term relationship we're in hasn't changed in several years? Or in some cases, several decades. I've seen that happen, okay? Same routine, same conversations, same arguments, same TV programs, same position, everything, okay? All this stuff. Now, somebody caught that. Anyway, so we know that it isn't all that satisfying, but it's not worth breaking up and starting over. So we just keep on going the same way we've been going, and our life does the same thing. It kind of keeps going until it doesn't, until it stops. A lot of people leave this plane that way. Now, I'm not trying to say that these are easy decisions, okay? I'm not telling anyone to leave your job or leave your marriage because you aren't happy with the way things are. What we're talking about here is the need to learn how to change our consciousness. We're talking about being different in here and in here, in the mind, in the heart. We're talking about flying instead of sitting in the nest waiting for somebody to either feed us or push us out. We're talking about personal responsibility for our life. Now, in either of these cases we're talking about, and we could apply other examples, but we're talking about work and romance here, there is some major risk involved in changing, especially if we're the ones who's willing to change and the other person isn't. The boss, the partner, whatever. But if we aren't willing to face that risk by expanding our own consciousness, our chances of growing or improving the situation we're in are very, very small. That's when my mom would say to me on a Saturday night when I'm sitting around going blah, 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 she'd smile and say, "Well, why don't you put on a nice shirt and a tie and go to the dance? Okay, maybe you'll meet somebody nice. It's better than watching television." And she'd kick me out the door. So I had to find something to do. Now, we learn a lot of things from our mother. The important ones: wear clean underwear, wash behind your ears, don't run with scissors, all right? But one of the greatest things that we can learn from our mother is the power of having someone who believes in us when we are not yet ready to believe in ourselves. And when I'm talking about mother here, you guys know this, I'm not just talking about the woman who carried you and brought you into the world. We have mother people around us all the time. Maybe male, maybe female, maybe young, could be younger than us, could be older, it doesn't matter. A woman by the name of Dorothy Fisher, who was a writer about 100 years ago, brilliant woman, she once wrote this, I love it. She said, "A mother is not to lean on, but to make leaning unnecessary." You can apply that to a friend. You can apply that to a partner. These other people in our life are not to lean on, but to make leaning unnecessary. Okay? In other words, a mother is the person in our life, male or female, related to us or not, who supports us in our growth even when we're afraid to grow. Even if we aren't sure when we're ready, even if we have to be pushed or dragged, kicking and screaming, into our greater good, into our spiritual potential, if you want to call it that, okay? Now, something else that a lot of people don't realize is even if your mother and no other mother figure is around, we can be our own mother. We can be our own mother, okay? In other words, we can go within and connect with the nurturing aspect of spirit, the nurturing power of the spiritual presence that we feel around us, this loving, supporting, gentle, feminine presence that's always with us. We can tap into that and find all of the courage and all of the confidence we need to do whatever needs to be done to grow beyond our temporary fears and limitations. Just like we did with our own mother, for many of us, okay? We can always connect with that consciousness that knows something more than we know and gives us that last little boost we need to get over the last little hump in the road. The truly wonderful thing about it is that all of these wonderful maternal instincts and words of wisdom are available to us whether our mother is around or not. There's an old Jewish proverb I found I really like. It says, "God could not be everywhere, therefore he made mothers." Isn't that lovely? Okay. Now my mother, who is not Jewish but could be very easily, she would say it this way, all right? My mother would say to me, "I couldn't be everywhere, so I told God what to tell you." That's how she'd do it, okay? Now, yes, Mom, I did say that. She's hearing, listening, whatever. There is such a thing as maternal wisdom and maternal love at the level of universal mind, okay? At the level of spirit. Now, if you were lucky enough, as I was, to experience that love and that wisdom through the love of the woman who gave you birth and raised you, then you were very, very fortunate. But that is a gift that is not limited to just a lucky few. Because every great teaching throughout history has always had a mother figure who was central to the understanding, not just of that particular religion, but to the nature of God. In Christianity and Catholicism, it was the Virgin Mary, or the BVM, as we used to call her, the Blessed Virgin Mary in Catholic school. Maya, who was Buddha's mother, Maya the Queen in Buddhism. Khadija, who was the oldest wife of Muhammad the Prophet, who believed in him as a prophet before he believed it himself. All of these teachings talk about that maternal, feminine, strong, wise, nurturing presence. That age-old story about the goddess or the earth mother is not just some pagan story meant to keep women in the religion happy, okay? It really isn't. It is the recognition of something called the divine feminine. The divine feminine. That means that every wonderful characteristic of the best mothers who ever lived is present, not just in them or in their kids, but in the creator of everything and in creation itself. So that means it's in every one of us, every man, every woman, and every child. Now, it may be buried a little deeper in some people than others, with all this cultural gender bending and stuff that goes on, but the ability to nurture, the ability to be vulnerable, the ability to love with the fierceness of a mama bear taking care of her cubs, we all have access to those qualities. So a mother's love is not just something we are lucky enough to get. It's part of what we are. It's part of what we are. We were born into it, and we can always connect with it and use it in our life. So I guess that means, if you think about it, that today is not the only Mother's Day. Every day is Mother's Day. Because the mother of all life, the part of the mind of God, the feminine part of that power, is always with us. Now, in closing, I would like to stand here and publicly thank my mother, Kitty Gagne, okay, for being the wonderful, loving channel through which my spirit came into this world. And as I always tell her, thanks, Mom, I couldn't have done it without you, okay? So, on behalf of David and the board and the practitioners and your mom, I would like to wish you all a very happy and loving Mother's Day. Because this is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is. And so it is. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's take a moment, take a breath. I know this may have brought up many memories, hopefully a lot of good ones. Take those good memories and embrace them, and any unhappy memories, set them aside. In this moment, we focus on love. A love that is greatly expressed by a mother for her child. A love that is greatly expressed by a mother for her own mother. Even when we aren't acting very loving, which we sometimes do. We know that this is a love that surpasses all understanding. We talk about a love that we are born into. A love that surrounds us every moment of our life, even when we're not aware of it. A love that gives us the strength to get past our occasional fears. A love that supports us when things are hard. This love is something that we have not because we take it in, but because we let it out. We open our heart not to let love fill us. We open our heart to let the love that already fills us go out and blend with the love from every other person. We do this with our family, with our parents, with our children, our brothers, our sisters, our friends. But we have so much love inside us that we also allow it to expand and touch our neighbors and everyone else in the world. The love that is in my heart is the same love that is in the heart of every person. Even those who appear to be evil are not evil, they are ignorant. These are people who are not aware of the love that is within them, and I create a space in my consciousness for them to become aware. And I embrace my own awareness of this love as a part of who I am. So today, I bless not just my mother or my grandmother or my sister who is a mother. I bless everyone. because all of us have within us that seed of the divine feminine that is part of the best of what we are. Giving thanks for this awareness, I accept it and I release it into consciousness, letting it be the truth for me now and always. Please join me in saying, and so it is.